on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC. Channel 943. And this is
RTE Pulse.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
Very welcome back to the show. Now, earlier today in the news, the former president of Ireland, Mary McAleese, said that the former cardinal, Keith O'Brien, should, well, or it would be good of him if he were able to speak about his homosexuality in light of last year stepping down from his position in the Catholic Church in Britain. Fantastic move in a lot of ways in terms of Catholic Ireland and indeed of this statement coming from a former president of Ireland. And tell us a bit more about it, or to have a chat at least, is Tiernan Brady from Glen on the phone. Tiernan, you're very welcome along.
Here, thanks for having us, Scott.
No problem. So obviously it was great news when you heard that Mary McAleese had made these statements.
Yeah, no, it's a profoundly positive message because she made very clear that she believes the rules as they currently stand within the Catholic Church are simply wrong. And more importantly than being wrong, they're also illogical because they just don't stand up to any scrutiny. And, you know, I think when Mary McAleese says this, this is incredibly important because, of course, if I say this as someone who works for Glen, or if a lesbian and gay, bisexual, transgender person makes these statements, there's always an element of, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? But Mary McAleese is a former president of 14 years, one of the most respected presidents we've ever had. And she, when she speaks, you are listening to the voice of Middle Ireland. You're listening to the voice of mainstream Ireland. And of course, that's profoundly important, both in terms of upcoming debates and upcoming referendums. But it's also a profoundly positive message for lesbian and gay people who hear that coming from the heart of Ireland. And what she's saying is reflected, of course, in the polls. We see it. Poll after poll after poll has shown increased levels of support for equal status for lesbian and gay people, for lesbian and gay relationships, and lesbian and gay families. And, you know, those polls, obviously they're polls of all Ireland, but there are also within those polls of the Catholic population of Ireland. And the Catholic population, again, show significant majorities in favour of equal status for lesbian and gay people. So when we talk about the Catholic Church, I think we always have to remember that there is the Catholic hierarchy, and then there is the Catholic Church, which is the members of the Church who are Catholic. And, you know, what former President McAleese has said today mirrors their opinion, that it is time for people to be treated equally.
Yeah, absolutely. It just struck me there, actually, as you were talking about her legacy as the former president of Ireland. One of the themes that she had during her presidency was this notion of building bridges. And in a lot of ways, what she has done, or at least in my opinion, what she has done with such a statement is that she is actually creating a bridge in some ways between the regular day-to-day people who call themselves Catholic or who identify as Catholic, and in a lot of ways the LGBT community, who might have been somewhat alienated from all these different news stories that we get about the religious right.
Well, no, absolutely. And I think I've been lucky enough to have heard Mary McAleese speak a few times on this issue, and she's always made the point, you know, for younger lesbian and gay people, as they discover their sexual orientation, she always speaks beautifully about this being a discovery rather than some decision, the phony political conversation about when someone decides to be LGBT as though it was a decision. But she talks beautifully about the discovery. And she talks about how young people in Ireland for generations discovered this, one of the most important things about themselves, in an environment that could only be described as hostile, where they heard the type of language surrounding who they were, language that was so derogatory, that talked about you having mental illnesses, you talked about you being sinful and being a sinner, and you know, the profoundly negative impact that had, and the profound responsibility that the institutions that created that atmosphere and created that language had. So she's always been wonderful, not just in expressing, you know, the very clear philosophical argument for equality, but also humanizing the point and humanizing how this negative language that surrounded generations of people, so as they discovered something that everybody should find wonderful to discover about themselves, whether you're LGBT or straight, you know, discovering who it is you're going to fall in love with. And instead of that being a wonderful moment, it was turned into a dark, fearful, isolating moment. And you know, she speaks so coherently and beautifully about that. And again, because of her position and because of the respect that she carries, she really communicates right across Ireland in a way that, you know, hand on our hearts, we probably wouldn't be able to have that type of reach. So what she said today is incredibly profound. And I think that just on one other thing, I think we've seen a trend in the last few months, especially with the new Pope, where we have seen a change in language. But what Mary McAleese has pointed out today is that what's needed is more than just a change in language. What is needed is a change in the rules. And it's to be welcomed, the change in language. Don't get me wrong, it's been a phenomenally positive development. And I understand institutions can move slow, and it's like turning an oil tanker, turning something as old and as big as the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But, you know, the next bit is to move past the idea that changing the tone is enough and changing the language is enough. It's not. The rules have to be changed because they're illogical, incoherent, and they're cruel.
I guess one of the aspects of what she had said, or at least one of the sound bites that I remember from listening to it earlier, was that when she refers to it being, you know, not just the elephant in the room, but the herd of elements. And I guess that's actually what you've described just there, is that it's the different facets of what the Catholic Church is dealing with within itself, and, you know, in with the wider world in terms of LGBT rights, and in an attempt, I guess, modernizing with the 21st century.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, and this is a huge challenge. You're talking about a church of 1.2 billion people, and this notion that, you know, there aren't lesbian and gay people in the church. Of course there are. And Ireland is full of lesbian and gay, bisexual and transgender people who do see themselves as Catholic.
Yeah.
And the question, the challenge for the hierarchy of the church then is, well, how do you engage with these people? You can't simply, at one hand, talk about respecting the individual, and then on the other hand, call them, you know, refer to mental disorders and refer to people being sinners. And I thought Mary McAleese said that beautifully, where she said it's just simply unacceptable to call someone a sinner simply because of who they are and who they fall in love with. So, you know, this is a big challenge, and they're going to have to tackle it, because, you know, even from today, I was listening to one of the radio stations and they were interviewing people coming out of the pro-cathedral. These were daily mass goers. And they were being asked about what President McAleese had said, and all of them were agreeing with her.
Wow.
So you have to ask yourself, if you're at the hierarchy, my entire flock knows that if our religion and if Catholic faith is about cherishing all human life and all individuals equally, then that has to apply to lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people if you're to be consistent in your message.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it definitely can be said that it is a turning point in terms of Catholic Ireland, the fact that a former president has made such strong statements, and that it seems that the majority of Catholic people in Ireland seem to be, as you just said, on board with her. But I guess it remains to be seen what the institution itself will do from here on out. But in the meantime, we'll leave it there. Tiernan Brady of Glen, thank you very, very much for joining us tonight, and no doubt we'll be hearing more from you soon.
Thanks a million, Scott.
RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're very welcome back to the show. Now, 2014 might be a brand new year for you, a brand new start, and you might have a few resolutions to have as much fun as you possibly can. But if you're intending to have as much fun, whether it's in the bedroom or indeed anywhere else, you might need to know about a few things that you, at the moment, don't. In studio with me at the moment is Dr. Shay Keating, our very own resident sexual health expert, to tell us about some things that you might not be too aware of, but you need to swat up on. Shay, you're very welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Scott. Nice to be here again.
Thank you very much. So listen, it is a brand new year. A lot of people are maybe hoping to have a bit of fun over the next while, but let's talk about some of the issues, whether it's ailments or STIs, that not many people may be aware of. Urethritis is one particular infection that not many people would know about at all. They wouldn't even have heard the word, but they need to be aware of. First of all, what is it?
Okay, well, Scott, in medicine, anything with itis at the end means inflammation.
Okay.
Might be appendicitis, you have inflammation of the appendix. You have tonsillitis, you have inflammation of the tonsils.
Gotcha.
But urethritis is inflammation of the tube and the genitals that goes from the outside, we'll say, into the bladder.
Okay.
And urethritis then obviously can be it can be two different causes. It can be infectious or non-infectious.
Okay, right.
So any irritant, say using particularly strong shower gels or very perfumed perfumed shower gels products, yeah, exactly, can irritate the lining of the ureter.
Okay.
That can cause pain or discomfort. But probably the more common cause of urethritis is infectious causes. So there are loads of different causes, infectious causes of urethritis, but the commonest one we see in sexual health circles would be chlamydia.
Right, okay. So the two are connected?
The two, well, as I said, you've got inflammation, and the inflammation can be either infectious or non-infectious, but the commonest infectious cause that we see in sexual health clinics is chlamydia.
And in terms of symptoms, because I guess, you know, when anyone's going to be listening to this, if I hopefully touch wood, they don't, but if they might come across certain symptoms and they're thinking, okay, well, in that case, I don't know whether something I have is possibly sexually related or it's just the brand new shampoo that I bought last week. Obviously, the first thing they need to do is have it checked out.
Absolutely. Right. Okay, men, we have a decided advantage. We can look down and we can see changes. Obviously, the things we'd be looking for would be a discharge. And with chlamydia particularly, the discharges can be quite clear, or be kind of greyish discharge.
Okay.
Sometimes it's slightly darker, more yellow. But that's the first thing. We also would just experience pain passing water.
Okay, right.
Now, you don't have to have either or both, but you can also have pains in the testicles. Okay, that can be quite uncomfortable. So the majority of men, I'd say 80-90% of men with chlamydia
will have some idea
something's not quite right.
Okay.
Women, unfortunately, on the other hand, don't have the advantage of seeing what's happening. And for a woman, she might have a change. She might discomfort, she might have pain passing water again, or she might see a change in discharge. But a lot of the times, women don't know there's anything going wrong and anything that they are infected.
Okay, so I guess more in a case from a woman's perspective, is more a case of just having yourself checked regularly in that case.
Absolutely, especially if you're changing sexual partners. Okay. So for men, the consequences of chlamydia, by and large, aren't too dramatic. Okay, you do get the pain and discomfort, and occasionally you can get something called orchitis, or inflammation of the testicles. You can get the infection tracking back into the prostate and cause kind of a chronic prostate problem. But for women, it's much more complicated.
Okay.
For women with untreated chlamydia, what happens is the bacterium tracks up back into the womb, and it can cause damage to the fallopian tubes, and ultimately could result in infertility.
Right,
so one of the commonest causes of infertility in women is undiagnosed and untreated chlamydia.
One of the things we should say earlier is that when I said that, you know, it's more important for women to get themselves checked regularly because they don't have the symptoms, that doesn't mean men have a pass card on this at all.
No.
Okay, but so the two are connected. The kind of the arthritis and chlamydia are somewhat connected. They might show the same symptoms, but go and have yourself checked.
If you have any concerns at all that there's something going, you know, something down below that's not quite right, get yourself checked. Okay. If you're having multiple sexual partners, obviously, you should get into the habit of having a regular STI screen and at least twice a year, maybe more frequently.
Okay, right. NSU is one that I came across recently, and I have to admit, over the last few years, and you know, having chatted with yourself and that, I would have thought I was fairly au fait with a lot of the conditions, I guess, that whether it's gay men or indeed anyone else come across. This is one that stumped me. I never heard of it before. Tell us about this.
Okay, well, NSU is kind of a little bit of an old terminology. We don't use it so much anymore.
Okay.
What we use is NGU.
NGU,
and NGU basically stands for non-gonococcal urethritis. So it's urethritis, and it's not caused by gonorrhea, which is another big bacterial cause of gonorrhea.
Gotcha. Okay.
So non-gonococcal urethritis, then, of infectious origin, the commonest cause, as I mentioned earlier, would be chlamydia.
Okay, right.
There are other causes, other bacterial causes, and there are also viral causes, fungal causes of urethritis.
Right, that's interesting as well. Okay, and
something like herpes, for instance, sorry for cutting across you, Chris Scott, but herpes can cause a viral urethritis. So you can inflammation of the ureter, the tube down in the genitals.
Okay.
And it's obviously not bacterial, it's caused by a virus.
Yeah.
Treatment would be completely different.
I guess that's actually quite interesting, because when a lot of people hear of herpes, and because they know that it's connected with the common cold sore, I guess in a lot of ways people kind of dismiss it.
They do. That's not a good idea.
You know,
it's not a good idea.
But it is interesting that obviously it can cause other problems.
It can, absolutely.
Like this.
Yeah, it can be quite problematic.
Okay, all right. So again, it's another cause to have yourself checked out if you think there's either any change, or even if it's overdue in terms of since the last time you've had a look. Finally, Shay, how common is chlamydia? Because it's something that a lot of people talk about, but I guess in terms of stats, how bad is it in Ireland?
It's the commonest bacterial sexually transmitted disease we see.
Wow.
Followed quickly by gonorrhea. The worrying part, that as I see it, is actually very common in young people. And for women particularly, it would be kind of the 19 to 20, 21 age group. And men, it would be from 21 to 25.
Right.
So it's a very young age group
are being affected,
yeah, very much so.
And, I guess there's many reasons to point out why that would be, I guess. But this makes it probably a bit more difficult as well to actually get across to that age group. Because they're not the typical age group to go, I think I'll be mature enough in going for a test.
That's very, very true. But the important thing to realise is once you diagnose chlamydia, by and large, it's treatable.
Yeah.
So you can avert a lot of drama, down a couple of years down the line if you just get yourself tested, get yourself treated, and fine. But in sexual health medicine, we do something called contact tracing.
Okay.
So if somebody has chlamydia, it's very important, particularly if they have multiple sex partners, to find out who potentially could have given it to them, who could they potentially have passed it on to. So what we would try to do is encourage them to get their sexual contacts to make contact with us so that we can test and treat.
Okay, right. So that really is kind of taking a proactive step.
Absolutely. It's just trying to decrease the amount of disease in the community.
Okay, right. Well, that was Dr. Shay Keating, our very own resident sexual health expert here on the show. If you want to find out more information about what Dr. Keating was having a chat about with us tonight, you can pop onto stdclinic.ie.
Online. On DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC. Channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Baudelaire, and Jenny Butler is in with me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Jenny. This is a terrible example of me singing, but...
Yes, indeed. Happy birthday to me.
Hello, missus. How are you?
I'm fab. How are you?
How's the birthday going?
It's going pretty good. Pretty good.
21 again?
Of course I am.
So good you had to do it a second time?
Or
is this like your second or third
time?
We won't talk about that. It's 21. Fine. 21 again. Listen, happy birthday to you, first of all.
Thanks.
How are things?
Things are good.
Good. We were having a chat earlier on, right? And we were saying that, okay, we're only just getting into 2014, but we're already making plans.
Oh God, January blues, book a holiday, people.
I think this is it. Although I have to admit, I was on a few airline websites, and I thought it was really, really funny. This particular one that isn't Irish, but I was on the website anyway. And it was saying, New Year's sale, look at all these fares, that's absolutely half price, blah, 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 blah. You go onto the website and it's been down for the last 2 days.
Oh, nice.
They are having the worst social media experience of their careers, I would say. But that's a story for another show, I guess. Any plans? Any ideas?
My beloved Vancouver, in case anybody doesn't know, I used to live in Canada. I talk about it all the time and I've become very irritating about how much I love Vancouver. So I don't know. I'm saving for the Yale degree year, so got some college fees to pay.
Yeah.
So if I can work it out and save, there might be a chance of getting over to Vancouver maybe late in the year or early next year or possibly August before I start the degree. But that would be really that would be like living on beans.
I know, obviously, from hanging around with yourself, I know that you've been over a fair few times and I know one or two other people who have recently moved over there. Is it expensive from Dublin?
I usually, you can go with any provider, but I usually use Expedia .ie or whatever.
Okay.
Or eBookers. Again, you can go with any provider.
Yes, of course.
Or any comparison website. I find those two the best for me personally.
Yeah.
Because what I do is I try and see, which one is kind of doing the best in terms of fares or whatever.
Yeah.
Usually if you fly a Monday or a Tuesday, it's going to be a little bit cheaper for you than if you're going to fly on a weekend. But that's, common sense. The demand is bigger.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. All right, And come here, one of the other things we were talking about as well was that, you've been over there a few times by this stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of similar with me with, say, the likes of, one of my favourite cities is Copenhagen, because I've been there a few times before. And we were talking earlier about the fact that you like to go places that you know. Now, it's not necessarily that you don't want change, but it's like, you're not going to go somewhere, and especially if you're travelling on your own, and it's like, right, well, I've seen this amazing, site, whether it's the Eiffel Tower or something, and you're on your own. Are you able to travel around? Just by yourself?
I love that. See, I moved to Vancouver by myself.
Really?
I didn't. Okay. I took the year visa. I went over, first of all, to take part in a drag king convention.
Right, okay. So, that's interesting.
Yeah, in it, right? So I went over to do that. I made some amazing friends.
Yeah.
And I decided, God, like, I really like it here. And I knew before I even went, I had this feeling I was just going to love it.
Yeah.
And I did. I went for 2 weeks, came back to Ireland and went, okay, what are you going to do about it?
Mm.
So a little over a year later, I moved back for a year, but I went over on my own. I knew maybe two or three kind of people that I had been keeping in touch with since I'd been there last.
Yeah.
And I just went for it. I think sometimes you need to, I mean, usually, I can't say it for everybody, if you're moving to a big city, you'll make friends, you know what I mean? Like if you join a social group or do something like that. I don't know if it's the same if you're going to, you know, somewhere for a week and it's kind of those lonely selfies. It's like, here's me by the Eiffel Tower, by myself.
Still having the same smile on me as the last Instagram photo.
You're kind of like Mona Lisa in every photo. It's like, I'm happy, but I'm not that happy. So I have this sort of confusing smile / not smile.
It's smizing. Is that
smizing.
It? Yeah. See, Tyra Banks will never be gone out of our lives. Okay, so you do want to head to Vancouver? Any other places? Anywhere around Ireland, actually? Because we're all talking about like staycation. Inishmore.
If you want to go on a staycation, everybody talks Galway, it's really cool, bohemian city. That's grand. If you want to get completely away from everything, Inishmore. Or Inishere or Inishman, any of them. They're all lovely.
I've been to Inishmore. I haven't been to the other two.
I haven't been to the other two either.
Right.
But Inishmore, as soon as you get to Kilronan,
yeah,
it's just like another world. It really is, honest to God.
It's like you go back in time.
I'm really hurt. I think our generation in general, we're very difficult to kind of wow because we see so much on TV. We're exposed to so much through the movies, through different things. But if you go up to Dún Aengus and you stand there, you actually get that, oh my God, you realise how tiny you are in the world compared to that. It's an experience.
I got that feeling, but just ever so slightly different. I got it in the sense of, I'm kind of standing near the end of Dún Aengus and I am petrified. I am absolutely petrified. I'm like, oh dear God, I'm going to fall over. And I was practically like,
are you afraid of heights?
It's not that I'm afraid of heights, I'm afraid of edges. Does that make sense? As in, like, you know,
I'm constantly pushing you over the edge. Sorry, Scott. I'm glad we had this conversation.
But you know what I mean? It's like, say, I can get onto a roller coaster. I can get onto anything that's really, really high. And as long as I know that I'm, like, properly secure, not a problem. I'm going to enjoy myself so much. But if I'm by something like, say, a cliff, I'm going to completely panic.
I'm the opposite.
Really?
I was like standing right on the edge and my friend Linda was like, oh my God, come back, you're going to fall. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm grand. And then, but the creepy thing up there is you do realise if the wind kind of changes a little bit.
Oh, you are gone.
You are gone.
Yeah.
And I kind of had a few kind of close calls where I was like, whoa, not worth the photo. So I kind of stepped back from the edge.
I'll be taking the photo as I'm falling. It'll be great.
But even even walking up, if you're walking up the mountain, you have to. It's a bit of a trek to get up to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But it is beautiful, and if you stop at certain points and look back down, you can see the coast of Galway on a clear day.
Yeah.
You can see all the kind of the lower
over
the
to Clare as well. I think from certain parts of the island, it's really
it's
gorgeous.
Absolutely breathtaking. Honest to God, staycation.
Yeah.
Go, and you know what? If you can do it for a while, turn off the mobile. You know, get away from the Bebo. Where did that come from? I'm gone back in time.
They have actually sent out a video saying that they're trying to revive themselves.
They are relaunching. They are. And that you can get your old profile back. I'm like, how many love hearts did you have on yours?
I'm afraid to find out. That was just...
And the other half of you.
Oh, sorry. Like, that changed. Like, hold on a second. I was, what, 19-ish? Oh, yeah, I was 19, 18, 20, around the time of Bebo, right? That, like, my other half must have changed at least twice a week.
Did you draw, like, did you draw wheelies on the whiteboard? Everybody did that. I did that.
I tried to be really sophisticated and I used to do, like, landscape photos and then I eventually...
Landscape,
like, kind of, you know, like, with hills and stuff and no, that just didn't really work out very well.
Because they
actually
put that in their promotional video. They had, like, all these little shots of everybody who had done that and it's like, okay, it's pretty much synonymous. It's what everybody did.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's true. It's like, don't let teenagers be creative because it's not going to be that tasteful. But anyway...
But you know what? Inishmore. Check it out, people. Because it honestly is a pretty cool place for a staycation.
Yeah.
Fairly inexpensive to get to as well. And Éireann Ruaidhe and do have those $9.99 train fares.
Okay. Not bad, actually. That's
20
really
quid return to Galway.
Yeah, happy hours. Okay, right. Well, listen, we will chat about even more than that next week. Jenny will be back in with me as per usual. Thank you very much.
Are you going to play my birthday song?
I am going to play your birthday song because it is your birthday. And this is not typical of RTE Pulse style. But we thought, well, do you know what? We'll make a bit of an exception for our very special co-producer here.
He couldn't play Papa Roach, and I love Papa Roach.
This
but
is
you
true.
Know what? This is the little exception we can make.
Exactly.
So I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it.
So especially for Jen for her birthday, this is Fall Out Boy. And thanks for the memories. I love this.
I'm gonna make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show.